Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and all ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them for ever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 148. Was David in a good mood? It really wouldn't have mattered. David knew suffering. David knew his God. David knew how to address his God. It was with praise and thanks first. David drives home the point that in the midst of life, in the crushing gloom, David saw the essence of his and our purpose here. The essence of the purpose of all life created by God through Jesus Christ, to give praise and glory to the God and Father of all. How do beasts and cattle, sun, moon, and stars praise God? It's simple, really. By living as they were created to live. The trees and grasses and flowers reach upward, don't they? It's a physical manifestation of lifting up praise to the Creator. Just like some of us lift up our hands, a sign of worship and praise. Spiritually, we lift up our hearts. When we deviate from the way of righteousness, we rend or tear our hearts before God. We do not tear our garments, as was a sign of repentance, subservience, or grief of old. Read 2 Samuel 3:31, for instance. God requires our worship to come from our hearts, not our mouths. Read Joel 2:13 and Matthew 15:18. Wherefore the Lord said, For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Isaiah 29:13. This passage goes on, but what we've just read is not out of context. Is our praise of God taught to us by the precept of men? Is our fear of God choreographed by our teachers? That's a good question. Does our praise well up from deep within us without orchestration or prompting from the choir or by reason of feeling good on this fine Sunday morning or Wednesday night? Or Saturday? We do not learn to give our God praise it comes naturally, as given, because of the infilling of his Spirit. That's part of the oneness Jesus spoke about in John 17. We be one, he be one, they be one, we all be one, remember? So after the yelling and screaming of late, you'd think that this preacher is only fixated on the ruin upon us. Now think again. Even under fire, there should be praise given to our God. He's never told us otherwise. It separates the fair-weather Christians from the real ones. This ruin we're witnessing is God's reason to test our hearts again and again. What are we here for? Make a lot of money? Or whine and complain about stuff we don't have? Or is it to give God glory as part of his creation? Think about that. If we can give God praise, pure and from the heart of Christ in us, when the roof blows off, or when we're stuck in the unemployment line, or when the wolves are slobbering at our shoes, then it's a truly pleasing offering to our God. If we be branches and God does the spiritual horticulture, then his fruit is indeed pure and righteous and well deserved by him. That is why God planted his vineyard. Who are we going to blame for putting us here and putting us in these terrible days? The dragon? If you had a voice before you were created, you could have said no. No thanks. But you didn't. You're here. And multitudes today don't want to believe that God created all things. No, don't blame the dragon. And don't be saying, poor us. It shouldn't be in our thoughts. Sad but true, we are the only branch of creation that has this sometimes burdensome gift of free will. When our wills align together, that is, our will and the will by the mind of Christ in us, then we praise God despite the circumstances. And this praise is a sweet smell to his nostrils and a sweet sound to his ears. It puts the sun and the stars to shame, saints. God has said through Jesus Christ his word, I will have mercy, not sacrifice. This was from the mouth of the last sacrificial lamb himself, Jesus Christ. He was pointing to a change coming. Now, you could sing and holler all you want and fire up the praise band and dance in the aisles or rock for Jesus. The joyful noise or not, is it coming from a pure heart toward God, the heart of Christ, or is it a ritual? I believe that our God requires hearts for him, not 12-bar progressions in the key of A major. Actually, most don't sing well in A major. Better E flat. But anyway, I'm not putting down the music of church land, just questioning the motive for it. Will the singing stop when the checks stop rolling in? When the church fails to make its fiscal budget? Or when the praise pastor has to find another job? Will the words of praise from our lips cease when the foreclosure sign is hung on our property? When the boss tells us we're no longer needed at the job? This is the test, saints. The test of David, if you will. David was a man after God's own heart because of his desire for God and God's gift of his Spirit. Is that in our hearts today? Love for God? The sacrifice of Jesus Christ ushered in the age of the Spirit within those called out by God, not righteousness by works. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ made the temple rites obsolete. There was no more blood required. just hearts. This only would I learn of you, Paul states. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Galatians 3:2. There's no more blood, saints. Hearts. Spirits. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. Galatians 3:11. We give God more substantial praise through our hearts, if they be right, than we do in any other form. Why? Jesus Christ, that's why. God's will and plan, that's why. Or have we too stopped short like the bewitched Galatians? Our works should be of Jesus Christ, not by our design. Our works manifest our hearts, don't they? Our works manifest who lives in us, if he does. And whether the natural man cares to admit it, he too, as all God's creation, gives praise by being just what he or she was created for. Even them that sin were planned by God. And even this gives God praise. Swallow hard, but think about this. It is the heart, the individual heart, that God listens to and judges. And everybody got one. God's ears are discerning, and he knows the heart. Hebrews 4:12. God also knows who resides in our hearts. Christ or Antichrist? I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. The words of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John, 5:30. What is in your hearts today, saints? Are we the only created thing which metes out praise contingent upon our well-being? God's creation will give him praise, despite the human contingent. Jesus Christ sought not his own will. And us? Well, if the Spirit of Jesus Christ lives in his saints, then the answer is obvious. And it's still a choice, too. When you're down to your last can of beans, praise and thank your Father first. Just like you did when you had a whole case of beans. Praise him, thank him, and then ask him to mercifully supply you with more. Consider what you have as sufficient. God will not deny his children. When you're out in the parking lot with a pink slip in your hand and a full lunchbox because you haven't even got through the door, praise God first. Thank him for sustaining you all these years with a paycheck and feeding you and or your family. Then ask him, if it is his will, to give you another job. But remember, your job is also a gift of God. And it is not to be thought that it is by your own means or hooks or by crooks that you survive. He gave you your job that he may receive the thanks, the praise, and the glory for it. This is what separates us, the true saints, from their bellies. We mustn't be afraid if we're not given something when we think we must have it either. God's people in the wilderness had the same problem, and what did it get them? What I'm aiming at is this. Some of us have the middle of the fence dug so deep up between our legs that we cannot even discern when we are in rebellion or unsatisfied and even grumbling, when we're reaching over to the steering wheel. Have we come to do the will of the Father like the Master we profess to follow and emulate? Have we trust in our God and Father? Or do we still do our own will when the wind's not blowing quite right? Our praises will be shallow, hollow, and cold. Our praises will become a judgment upon us if we are not sincere and grounded in our roles as servants and priests of one Master. Need I say, think about it? Let's take a look at the sun and the moon and the stars. Let's take a look at the mountains and beasts and creeping things and the dragons and the deeps. For what, you say, preacher? For what? Well, take a look at these things and see that they are right where God the Creator placed them, and they give Him glory because they do not fight His will nor think of themselves as anything more than what they'd been made to be. And excuse me, mankind is included in this bunch. We were all made of the same stuff, but we were given His Spirit. We live not only on the earth, but also in the heavenlies through Jesus Christ. That should make them dragons pretty jealous, if you ask me. But why doesn't it? Because creation is doing exactly what God had ordained it to do. And are we fearful ingrates, given the gift of the Holy Spirit, acting as we were ordained to act? That is a mighty deep question in relation to God's sovereignty. But simply put, either we serve one Master and fear, or we serve the other Master and live in peace and praise of the Father who called a few to live the life of His Son and find real life at the end of their journeys. Give God praise that you are given to see His mighty works. A flower blooming is a mighty work, because there's no way you could ever make that happen. A cloud passing by in the sky, caught up on a wind, is a mighty work. Follow that thread all the way up to redemption. Follow that thread all the way up to Jesus Christ. Go through Him, the way, the door. Go to the throne. Follow it up and go to the throne. And see, maybe for the first time, what real love is, what might and majesty really is. See that God keeps His promises. Give Him praise that He loves His own so much that He spares not the rod of chastisement. God is why we praise Him, saints. We were made for this. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can enter into His holy place. We can exercise our freedom in Christ. No blood, no incense, libation, song, or laws can ever match what comes forth from the depths of the heart of Christ within us, a direct line to the ear of the Father. It's faster than priority mail, folks. It's not a formula for prosperity. It's simply part of our reasonable service, willing reasonable service. Don't be upstaged by dragons and deeps, saints. Don't be upstaged by the hills and trees and flowers and sun and moon and stars. Walk as Christ walked. Be a pleasing sacrifice to our God, your God. There should be no room in your hearts for you, just Jesus Christ and the love of the Father. We are not only being conformed into His image on the outside, where a lot of us dwell. No, we are also being conformed on the inside. We have His heart, His mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16. We got the whole enchilada here. Think about that. What is Christ's mind? It's obedient, surrendered and loving toward his Father, wanting nothing for himself, only that the Father be pleased, by carrying out his Father's will. The simplicity which is Christ. Is that us? I do pray that we might see that the underlying theme of this little message is still and always humility. And humility goes a long way in narrowing the way for us. I can't stress that enough. And don't think that I'm a pinnacle of righteousness here, saints, preaching at you from some high place. I fall too. And that is precisely why I wanted to share this with you. Hey, there's lots of question marks here, but let's examine ourselves, shall we? Let's be strong and take comfort in our refuge, saints. If your hearts are fixated upon God's kingdom and his righteousness, then he will supply. Good economy, bad economy, war, peace, it doesn't matter. What you have doesn't matter. Who you have matters. We are in tribulation. We are told to watch. We are told to pray. What do we pray for? And why? In all ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3:6. Thanks for stopping by. We'll get back to basics next time. As if this isn't basic. Give God praise and thanks and all the glory, even in the midst of your suffering, saints. That's a tough one, and I don't speak those words lightly.